From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The Federal Communications Commission voted today to relax the rules that govern who owns broadcast television and radio stations and how many any one company can own. Media conglomerates that own television networks and newspapers have long sought the change, which was approved by a 3-2 party line vote. Opponents of media deregulation say that while they're disappointed by the decision, they'll take the fight elsewhere. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
The FCC had been looking at revamping its media ownership regulations for years, ever since Congress passed the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and the conglomerates that own the nation's broadcast television networks sued under that law to have the regulations swept aside or at least loosened. The changes the commission took up today allow those conglomerates to own about a third more broadcast television stations than they can now, and as many as three stations in the nation's largest cities. They'd also allow newspaper publishers to buy more television stations. One of the commission's dissenting Democrats, Jonathan Adelstein, said even with the advent of cable and satellite TV and the internet, changing the rules ran counter to the FCC's mission of defending the public interest.
Now, some argue that the threat to the American democracy is overblown since it's so strong and resilient. While our democracy is strong, and it's not about to crumble, does it mean that we can afford to weaken it? Doesn't it matter that only half our citizens vote? Does the way the media works today have anything to do with that?
Republican Commissioner Kathleen Abernathy countered that the new rules would allow market forces, not the government, to determine what kinds of programming appear on broadcast television.
Those opposing today's order have also emphasized that four companies air programming that is chosen by approximately 75% of viewers during prime time. To me, the critical fact is that these providers control no more than 25% of the broadcast channels in the average home, even apart from the internet and other pipelines. Given these other viewing options, I can only presume that this means that Americans are watching these providers because they prefer their content, not because they lack alternatives.
Today's proposal represented a compromise, or at least a toned-down version of the complete deregulation that some media conglomerates had sought. The commission kept in place rules that keep one of the major television networks from owning another and made only minor changes to the rules governing the ownership of radio stations. But despite that, and despite the back and forth between commissioners, today's vote was largely seen as a fait accompli. Both sides in the increasingly rancorous dispute say today's vote doesn't end the debate. Randall May is a senior fellow at the free market think tank the Progress and Freedom Foundation in Washington, D.C. He thinks today's rule changes didn't go far enough and that media conglomerates may well go back to court to seek further deregulation.
In light of the tremendous changes that have taken place in the media environment since the rules were put in place, that the FCC's action will be construed by the courts as more tinkering and not really sufficient action.
Seattle Times publisher Frank Blethyn, who opposes the rule changes that passed today, says he expects other opponents of media deregulation to go to court as well.
Lawsuits are a good idea to maybe try to slow down some of the conglomerates who are going to try to scramble the egg as quickly as they can. But I think in the end, what we have to do is pull back and remind ourselves this is all about politics and ideology.
Blethyn says that as more of the public became aware of the FCC decision, more members of Congress started to weigh in. He says he agrees with the Progress and Freedom Foundation's Randall May that today's vote may just be the beginning of a protracted fight in the courts and on Capitol Hill. Rick Carr, NPR News.